So, yes. So, I'd like to welcome everyone to the CONA meetings, the first meeting of 2023. Our chair was unable to be with us tonight, so we've got a team effort going here, and so I hope you'll be patient with us if we, have a glitch or two along the way, but we're delighted to have you with us, and especially our special guests, Susan Montgomery from the Bloomington Newcomers Club and Angela Van Roy, who will be talking about the B-Town Neighboring Project and probably a few others. But in our executive meeting, we decided that we really wanted to, reach out and involve more neighborhoods this year. And so we are delighted to welcome two new board members. That is Eric Ost, who you just heard from the Elm Heights neighborhood, who's actually also the president of his neighborhood association, and Tom Payne from the Near West Side neighborhood. So
Hello.
welcome to you two, and we're looking forward to a fabulous year. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a rundown on how the meeting is going to go. We'll have about 15 to 20 minutes for each of our speakers to speak, and then 5 to 10 minutes of Q&A after each speaker. I ask that you keep your questions to about 1 minute so that we will have a chance for everyone to participate. And I think that's about it. There will be a short business meeting afterwards, and you can stay if you would like to, but you don't need to. So, welcome, and I would like to introduce Susan Montgomery, who's the head of the Bloomington Newcomers Club. And Susan is going to tell us about the Newcomers Club and what they are doing and plan to do and all the exciting things going on. So take it away, Susan.
All right. Thank you very much, Nancy. Just coming. Is that you can hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
I won't take credit for being the chair of the Bloomington Newcomers and Neighbors, which is actually the formal name of the club. I'm the program chair, so I set up programs. I'll talk to you later about this and what we do on six monthly meetings, monthly luncheon meetings. But I'm particularly interested in your organization in that, and I am retired now, but I was assistant city attorney here in Bloomington for about a 10-year period. I had the pleasure of serving underneath Mayor Allison for the bulk of that time frame and then Mayor Fernandez at the end of it. I left there in 1997. I had a great background in what's called municipal law, which is kind of my baby in that I think the old saying, all politics is local, is very, very true. And especially here in Indiana, maybe in other states too, I don't know. The building blocks of what happens on the state level is what happens in the neighborhoods and in the municipal governments. So I particularly like that. I then went to the Legislative Services Agency, which is a part of the Indiana General Assembly, where there is a nonpartisan arm that helps out the legislature. And as I said, as I've said many times, we got a lot of the blame, but not a lot of the credit. But we were very happy to do what we did. Anyway, the background in municipal law was very, very helpful. BNNC, as I'll call it, which is Bloomington Newcomers and Neighbors Club. Is simply a volunteer organization, and I'll tell you about that also. I appreciate you all being volunteers for what you do to your neighborhood, and I have met Cynthia, who unfortunately can't be here with us tonight. I met her through some other volunteer activities that I do here in town. So I think volunteers actually run the entire, make all the cogs work and make everything happen. Okay, where do I start with the slides? I need a slide. Okay. I don't have it. Okay, I'm trying to get my slides going right here.
While you're on a pause, could I ask people who are attending to go to the chat and add your name and your neighborhood, please, for attendance purposes?
What? I can't get the slides. Where are the slides? Something's happened, so I'm not able to access the screen.
So Susan, you, yes. I've made you co-host, and so you should be able to share your screen. You are co-host.
Okay.
Are you not able to do that? Let me check another setting. You should be able to as a co-host.
Okay. Not,
there we go.
All right. There we go. There's my first slide. Okay. This is just what we use as our logo for the BNNC, as we call it, the Bloomington Newcomers and Neighbors Club. Okay. We're still having trouble with this. Just a second, please. All right.
You can see it. It looks good.
Okay. Much better then. Yes. Thank you for your patience. We're not just for newcomers. We include everyone who would like to join us in the possibility of becoming neighbors. We started out as the traditional newcomers club, and that became a little onerous because we let people join only within the first 3 years of moving here. Then they had to continue their membership, or they were no longer able to be a member of the club. And that just seemed a little onerous. So what we went ahead and did was we opened it up a few years ago to anyone who wanted to become a member. And that afforded the possibility of individuals who had some kind of lifestyle change or life change to become a member. Individuals who changed marital status, had changes in employment, maybe became interested in one of our interest groups, those were able to join also, or who just wanted something to do a little bit with their time. So we made that much more possible. Our motto is, in this world, there are no strangers, just friends who have never met. And that's what we try to do, to be friends to everyone. Now, as I said, it's a volunteer organization. So we do some things that are very much like perhaps the Endright Center, which has its main office, of course, west of Ellettsville, and they've just opened up an activity center in College Mall, I think right before COVID, and it has reopened. But we are not part, we're, as I said, we're all volunteers. So Endright Center is run by, or I think the main bulk of their money comes from Area 10 on aging. And we would try to be not necessarily a club for older people. Unfortunately, in a sense, it's come out to be that way because many people are busy with activities during the day, and then their lives open up, of course, during retirement or later years. But we would love to be inclusive and have anyone come, and we're able to do that. We do have monthly lunches. They are 6 months of the year on the second Tuesday, which is October, November, January, February, March, and April. And in a sense, it's a little unfortunate that I'm talking to you this evening, because we had a marvelous meeting this afternoon at Red Lobster, and we had 39 people in attendance. So we did just absolutely marvelous with that. We're welcome, as I said, to all of our members, and would be very happy to have guests. You don't have to order a meal. You can just come and socialize and be with people, and maybe just share stories. I am the program chair, and I'll be a lot in a number of these slides. And what I've tried to do with the programs the last few years that I've been in charge of them is use speakers who come either from nonprofit entities or governmental units, so that they just tell people a little bit about what's happening in the community. We have members who not only are from Monroe County, but we also have members from Martinsville, Brown County, Bedford, and also up in the Spencer area. So it's open to anybody around in the Bloomington area. I've tried very hard to think about things that are kind of interesting, things that I'd like to know about. Right before COVID, in 2020 was the 200th anniversary of the Monroe County Library, believe it or not. I can't even imagine how many books were even located in Monroe County in 1820, but they started to have a lending library there, and the library was just absolutely very, very helpful. In 2020 through 2021, we did do Zoom meetings, but they were actually quite well watched. And I'm appreciative of our members who wanted to go ahead and share some camaraderie with us, even on Zoom. I've spotlighted the 100th anniversary of Smithville Fiber. Like, why is it Smithville? You know, I wondered, even though they're up past Ellettsville, what was the story about that? And we were blessed by having Cullen McCarty, who's the vice president of Smithville, come and talk to us and tell us how it became a large player in the local fiber optics and communications industry. We had spotlights from the Buskirk Chumley, who are having their 100th anniversary. Well, it actually was the 100th anniversary in December, but a week from Saturday is their Neon Jubilee, which is a large celebration and also fundraiser, if anybody's interested in that. I will have later on, I've had Hoosier Hills Food Bank, Bloomington Playwrights Project, TC Steel, just to spotlight things in our surrounding counties, Bloomington Restorations, Centerstone. I've had a speaker in October, Aaron Aquino from Exodus Refugees Resettlement, which has recently located on a branch on South Walnut Street instead of the one in Indianapolis, which I think they are our new neighbors. They are refugees who are coming. In February, I have Brown County Visitors Center coming to talk. March will be a talk by Joel Washington, who's a local artist. And in April, we will have the executive director of the Indiana Institute on Disability and Community, which deals with some issues related to autism. April is Autism Awareness Month, so I thought that would be a great thing to spotlight. We also have four, let's call them, social events a year. We traditionally have a spring fling, and we've had it the last few years up at Oliver Winery. You're not required to have wine if you don't choose to do so. And that's the thing. Some of our activities will sound as if they're spotlighting alcohol, and you need not drink whatsoever. We certainly respect people's thoughts about, you know, their own body and their own body autonomy. And if they don't choose to drink or can't drink, we're very happy to have them come and be with us nonetheless. The last few years at Oliver's, we've had Schnitzel Bank from Jasper come and cater, and they do a German style dinner for us. And it's quite exciting. This is just another shot from this past May. We got very, very lucky because sometimes we can get cold and dreary in May, even though we'd prefer not. And it turned out to be very good for us that year. In the summer, we have a picnic. Some of you may notice in this picture, in the orange, the second from the left is Alan. And I can't even think of his last name, but I believe he lives in the Prospect Hill area, and I think he's part of your Kona.
Alan is the president of the Near West Side Neighborhood Association.
There you go. There's Alan.
His name is Alan Balkaba.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry. I could not think. When I have to think on my feet, I can't do that so well. We've had picnics. We do those traditionally in some of the city parks. The last couple of years, we've used the shelter on Woodlawn at Bryan Park, and there's plenty of parking there. There's a catered meal that we have. People bring their own drinks and such. And there's usually, if the weather cooperates, there's music afterwards over in the band shell over in Bryan Park. Some years it hasn't been so cooperative though, unfortunately, but we try to do that. And we try to pick a weekend when there's a music presentation that everybody will probably enjoy. Even though it's usually pretty hot, we bring fans. And as I said, there's plenty of parking on Woodlawn, so people are quite comfortable, and it's just a great chance to come and meet and greet your friends. We have a fall kickoff in September. The last couple of years, once we felt comfortable about getting together, we had some get-togethers at the Peppergrass Clubhouse, but we're more than willing to go many places around town. We usually just have pizza with a pitch in, and it's a nominal cost, and people can just come and, you know, greet their friends and such after the summer holidays have been over. As I said, it's sometimes something where you cheers, sometimes not. People are very free to do whatever they want to do as they wish. this is a shot from the 2020 holiday party. We were able to have a small party at the American Legion that year, and we did have very good masking. We were very happy to be able to get together just even for a little bit of dinner there. We've had meetings in earlier times at the American Legion. Our holiday party this year was at the Legion, and they have plenty of space for us to hold a large get together. I believe there was like 75 people this year, so we really enjoyed all of that. We have low-key entertainment. Most of the time we have a small duet or something like that playing, and it's just a chance for people to get together and visit with their friends and maybe catch up again. Now, we have a number of interest groups. What we do every second Friday, we have a TGIF, which is just a chance to get together in someone's home on Friday evening. It's from 6 to 8. So it's not too late for everybody. If you have other plans, you can go on. You can come late. You can go home earlier. That's just up to what you want to do. Once again, it's just, you just bring a dish to share. You bring your own beverage, and it's a great chance to mingle with friends. Let's see. Oh, we have a number of other interest groups too. This is the Canasta group. I myself learned Canasta through this group about 4 years ago. And quite frankly, I absolutely love it. I will be honest. One of my dreams or one of my goals when I retired was to learn how to play bridge. And I haven't gotten that far, and I haven't learned how to play chess, but I really, really enjoyed Canasta. We get approximately 16 people every other week, and we have two groups and we're starting a third one. If people don't know how to play it, we'll teach them. We have luncheon groups, fun lunch bunch once a month, and people get together at various places. It's picked by the host or the hostess. We have a railroad group where we have talks about trains. We get together. We went down to the French Lick Scenic Railway and rode on the train down there. We have a samba group, which is a variation of Canasta. And we also play another game called Hand, Foot, and Knee. We have a number of book clubs, and they meet in various places, sometimes in members' homes, sometimes out in the open if it's a nice time of year. And I know that we have one group that meets at Morgenstern's, and we're quite grateful for them to allow us to come into their back room. They're a great community resource, and I'm very glad that they're back in town. We have a discussion group about international affairs. We usually meet there at the Red Lobster. And we pick a topic, the leader picks a topic each month, and people do a little bit of research if they want to, and then they come and talk about what is going on, what has happened before, what they see as a potential situation that may come up with that particular country. We have wine tastings, we have progressive dinners, we have needlework groups, we have writing groups. We have what we call a spirits group. Once again, alcohol need not happen, but it's an evening dinner group that we go to, and we pick a different place each month. And we're appreciative once again for the places that can host a group up to 20 people. So we've enjoyed that. We also have a men's breakfast group, which meets once a week at Bedrock on South Walnut at 8:30 on Thursday mornings. We enjoy that because there's parking available at the door, and the gentlemen like to get together and just talk about whatever it is that they'd like to talk about. Now, how to become a member. We do have our own website, and we do have a Facebook page. It's simply, you can look up BNNC Bloomington and you'll come right up with it. Our dues are simply $10 a year for the first year. And that's for either an individual or for a couple residing in the same home. It's simply $20 a year for the years after that. And we always welcome new members. We will do anything we need to that we can. If members need to be carpooled to somewhere, or if they need some assistance with anything. And we've had so many members become just tremendously good friends with each other over the years. There are a number of condo complexes and such where there are 6, 7, 8 people who all live in the complex who come and participate in activities with us. And I think that forms a bond within that community also. So I don't have anything more for you. I'm just very grateful that I'm able to spotlight this organization. I think we're the only one like this in town, in that I'm not familiar with any other group where you can, in essence, act like you're in a meetup where you can just meet people and do what you want to do. If anybody has an idea for a group that he or she would like to have more people come and participate in, we're more than happy. We're ecstatic if people want to bring that idea to us, and then we'll give them a 150 member list of individuals who might be interested in that idea. And then from there, the group leader can go and do what he or she feels best. You don't have to meet once a month. You can meet irregularly. You can form. We don't have a theater group, but we're working on that, to go to different presentations around the city, you know, go and, you know, meet whenever those particular plays or musicals or whatever are put on. So I don't have anything more for you.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
Your time.
Thank you so much, Susan. I am impressed. I had no idea.
Yes.
You had so many activities going on.
We do. We do.
I did want to ask you how you publicize your activities so that people can become aware of all
of them. Like I said, there's Facebook, and they're with the shall we say, shrinking of the HT. That's become difficult, okay? There is very little print media that one can use around this city. We also have a calendar, and we have a newsletter that is on our website every other month. It's on our website. We also are fortunate in that there is a, let me look for that. There's a calendar that comes out from the town planner. I don't know if any of you, I used to get it in my mailbox. It's called the town planner. It's actually out of Johnson County, I believe. And it publishes once a year as far as a calendar, but you can also go in and publish activities that go on. It's called Town Planner, if you're interested in that. Capital T-O-W-N, capital P-L-A-N-N-E-R. And it will send out a newsletter every week, or not a newsletter, but just an updated calendar every week if you're on their mailing list. And it tells you about things that are going on in the community. And actually, for your ideas, that might not be a bad idea, because you can narrow your emphasis to, like, 47408, put something in that's, you know, put in newsletters that are no more than 20 miles away, that kind of thing. So it's actually kind of nice. I put that in, and it does show up on the print version, and then people can go in and look at the weekly update on the town planner. But yeah, okay. I think with the HT shrinking and with the Ellisville paper disappearing, this has made print media very difficult to get the word out for so many groups and organizations.
Right. Other questions for Susan? Raise your hand.
Hey,
yes, sir.
Steve?
Raise hand. Okay, I raised my hand.
Okay,
I'm official Steve. Now.
Yep.
Hey, I was just wondering, Susan, do they play Canasta for money?
No, we do not. Not play any games
That's
for
good.
Money.
That's good.
Not even match sticks, no nothing. Uh-uh.
Okay, I might be interested then.
Oh, that would be wonderful. We would love to have you. And for anybody that's interested in games, if you don't know how to play, we'll teach you. I mean, that's the kind of group it is. We don't require
that. You said that. And that's why I asked if it was for money.
No. Nope.
Back when I was a youngster, 10, 12, 13 years old, my grandmother and her two sisters routinely needed a fourth. Mm-hmm. And so I got pulled into Canasta, Bolivia, and Samba all the time. And haven't played it since. And I'm actually looking forward to taking it up again.
Well, we'd love to have you. You've got all the, the information that you need to get in touch with us.
Other questions, but you can just put your hand up if you have a question. or put the little hand up in the corner if you're techie. All right. Well, thank you so much, Susan.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you
being with us. And do you have an email that people can email you if they are interested?
I'm going to have to ask my tech guy right here.
Okay. You can put it in the chat.
For me? Yeah. I'll put it in the chat. Sure.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy.
All right. Well, Angela, I think we're ready for you. And I'm really excited to hear about this neighboring projects because we're always hearing about, you know, bad things about the students. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure that there are lots of good things too. And so I'm anxious to hear what you have to say about that. So
yes, thank you so much for having me and inviting me today. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. All right. Can you see my screen? Because I can't see it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I can.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. So Cynthia actually asked me to talk about three different things. One thing very briefly, let me just go ahead and look at the. Okay, now it's not advancing. There we go. Okay. So what we're going to cover today very briefly is the welcome packets that we have. I know she's the emphasis for Kona this year is to, as you said, reaching out to more neighborhoods and welcoming people. So I'm going to talk briefly about that. Then the B-Town Neighboring Project, which I'm very excited about and excited to share with you. And then finally, the neighborhood grants, because our cycle is just starting for the year. So it's a good reminder that those things are coming. So first of all, the welcome packets. So many of you are probably familiar with these. Over the years, HAND has asked neighborhood associations for their help in disseminating this information, particularly to students at move-in time in August. But they are available always. And it's a nice, you guys, you can see the graphic here has got the various brochures and things that are in there currently. It's a ton of stuff. And if neighborhood associations are interested in having a set of these on hand to pass out to new neighbors as they move into the neighborhood, I'm happy to provide those to you. I always encourage neighborhood associations to put something of their own in there as well. A letter from the neighborhood or how to contact, how to join the email list or whatever it is, however you communicate with one another. So it's a good way to be able to do that, to introduce yourselves as well as all the city services and things that are there. I do sort of customize them a bit when it's for neighborhood associations welcoming new neighbors. I will remove some of the things that are more student specific. So there are a few things in there like from IU. So anyway, but if you're interested in that, please let me know and I'm happy to provide those to you. The other thing we've always asked neighborhoods to do, and this has been, I'm trying to figure out how to do this more of a blanket sort of distribution. And that's partly what the B-Town Neighboring Project is about, is how to get the stuff in the hands of students. So neighborhood associations over the years have helped us a lot to get it to people because, you know, you live in the neighborhood, you know, when you have a new neighbor who moves in and you walk over and hand it to them. But we're also trying to figure out other ways of getting to the students as well. So that brings me to the B-Town Neighboring Project. So this is a project that I have been working on for 2 years. It's gone through many different steps. If you go to the city website and to the neighborhoods page, you'll find a little box for the neighboring project. Also on the bottom corner here, I've got a shortened web page URL there that is easier to type in. It's not so many characters, and that will take you to the neighboring project as well. And on there, there is a link for an entire timeline that will show you all the different steps that we've gone through. I'm not going to go through everything, but needless to say, it's been 2 years. I've worked over the last 2 years with five now, different IU classes, trying to work on different pieces of it. So one of them helped develop a survey where we could survey students to find out what their experience is in the neighborhoods. Another one was a design class, and the students there helped to come up with ideas for how we might actually reach out to students and actually design the project to do better outreach. So the three pretty young ladies in this picture here are three of the five students that I have been working with. So in that design class, which was the fall of 2021, they worked very hard on some wonderful projects. And I opened it up after the end of the class and said, I'd be really happy to have anybody who wants to continue with this work to join me. And I've got 5 students who have city fellowships, and they've been working with me ever since. So it's been fantastic. So to start out, my interest in this is, as Nancy mentioned, either, you know, you hear bad things about students, right? The 3 top complaints, no matter where you go, this is not Bloomington specific, anywhere in the country, anywhere, or even in other countries where you go, the 3 top complaints are noise, trash, and parking. That's always the ones that neighbors get annoyed about, because students often don't know what the rules are, and they don't know, you know, maybe the first time they're living in a house by themselves, and they don't know, and it may not be from Bloomington, they don't know what the rules are locally. So my question to myself how can we fix this? How can we help and improve the situation? Because in my mind, if we fix those problems, the things that are most bothersome to the long-term residents of a neighborhood, that would in turn improve the relationships among the students and their non-student neighbors. Because we don't, you know, you can reduce the amount of annoyance that, you know, hopefully actually be able to build relationships. So one of the things that we are doing is educating off-campus students. It's been really helpful for me to have these 5 students that I'm working with, because my biggest hurdle when I started was how do I get access to these students? I'm not at the university. I don't have access to their emails or other ways of contacting them. And so that was a big one, is trying to figure out a way to get into that system. So having these students to work with has helped a lot. So some of the things that we've focused on in terms of what they need to know, what are your rights and responsibilities as a tenant? That's really important. Being, you know, a good renter, knowing what you're responsible for, taking care of the property and things like that. Also, what their rights are as well, because oftentimes they, in a college town, you can have students sometimes have bad situations with landlords. We hear about that in Hand all the time. Get complaints from students calling or parents calling on behalf of the student. So they really need to know what their rights are as well, so they can advocate for themselves. City rules and regulations. How do I do my trash? What day is trash day? When can I put the cans out? When do I have to bring them in? You know, what are all the rules around that stuff? Oftentimes they just don't know. And then the final thing is good neighboring skills. What does it mean to be a neighbor living in a home as opposed to an apartment building and having people who live right next door? And, you know, maybe you're making noise. Maybe the people next door have kids and they got to get up in the morning, go to work, you know, things like that. So just making them more aware of their surroundings and their role as a neighbor. So, as I said, reaching them was a challenge to begin with. So part of the project has been a series of pilot projects, smaller projects on a small scale, to see how we could potentially scale them up. So one of the things we did just this past fall was a canvassing in Green Acres neighborhood. So I had teams of myself, other city employees, representatives from the neighborhood, and a whole bunch of students who helped. And we went to every single door, knocked on the doors, talked to people if they were there, and handed out those welcome packets to everybody in the neighborhood. We also, every fall and spring, I'm at the IDS Housing Fair. The picture on the bottom here is actually one of the students who is there at the Housing Fair last spring. 3 of the students were there with me, and they were able to talk to other students coming through. Those 5 students also are in the process of starting a student organization on campus. So this will be the B-Town Neighboring Project campus organization, and we're hoping that it will grow into a situation where there will be students who can be ambassadors with students in the neighborhoods as sort of a liaison or a contact person, as a frontline person with students living in neighborhoods. If they have questions or issues come up, that the students, as a peer-to-peer situation, it'll be, I believe, they'll be more receptive to information. A lot of the information will originate from the city or the university, but having students be the messengers. It's also will give students leadership opportunities, so that's a big plus for them as well. I'm also getting the landlords involved. I have a plan for move-in in August to provide as many landlords who will participate with little magnets that they can put right on the fridge in every single unit that they have. The fridge has a QR, the magnet has a QR code that takes them to a website on the city, the city's website, the welcome page on the city's website. And that has electronic versions of all of the information that's in the welcome packet that's hard copy. So it's just the same stuff, but it's all easily accessible on the computer. Okay. And then the peer-to-peer, we do have some social media as well. That's another thing that we're working on. And then the second piece, in addition to educating students, is to try to provide and create opportunities for them to meet their neighbors. So one of the other pilots that we did with Eric's help, because we partnered with Elm Heights Neighborhood Association, was a block party that we threw in August to welcome the students when they arrived. So we did it during the week between move-in and when classes started. Right on the street, closed down one of the streets, had tables, cooked hot dogs and a grill, had lots of food. Had canvassed the neighborhood ahead of time to let students know we were going to be there. We had yard signs that we put out. And I think I would estimate we had about 100 people. So I was very, very pleased with the turnout. And most of them were students. We had a number of other neighbors as well. And the Neighborhood Association, of course, was there. But that was really great. So that's another thing that we can do. And certainly a grant from HAND would be something that could be used to throw something like this if a neighborhood was interested in doing that. One caveat though, we can't pay for food. That's the only thing. Grant money can't pay for food, but we could pay for everything else. So in addition to that one, other social events throughout the year, that will probably grow as with time to have some ideas about other things we could do. And we're talking primarily about the campus adjacent neighborhoods, because that's where most of the student population is. And then also getting students connected with their neighborhood associations and getting on the email list, getting on social media. So if there's a Facebook page or a next door, you know, for that neighborhood that the students want to be a part of, so they get messages of what's going on. Okay. All right. So that's all I'm going to talk about within the B-Town Neighboring Project. If you have questions later on, that'd be great. I'm going to move into the grant stuff because I have a number of slides for this. It's a lot of information, I know. So neighborhood grants, our season has started now. With all of our grant programs, they are neighborhood driven. So we encourage you to have partners, businesses, churches, schools, whoever happens to be in your neighborhood. If you have groups like that want to partner with the neighborhood association, that's fantastic. But it does have to be a neighborhood driven thing. So those others are partners, but they're not the primary applicant. At this point right now, the neighborhood improvement grant is for capital projects and public art. And you know what? I'm just seeing, I screwed up this slide, didn't I? I duplicated it. Anyway, and it has a minimum budget of $1,100. So what that would be is that would be $1,000 from HAND with a 10% match. So the other thing about this grant is it does have a match component of 10% minimum. And that can be done in many, many different ways. It doesn't have to be money. It can be in kind. It can be labor, things like that. So, all right. So now it's going to be repeated again. I don't know what I did. Sorry about that last slide. You can just skip that one. So capital projects and public art is what we have always traditionally covered. I have a proposal, which I will not have a final answer on until the end of the month, because the Redevelopment Commission we'll be making a final decision, but I have a proposal to actually broaden the eligible projects so that we can do more community building activities, not just physical things that you have to install, but actual like events or workshops or, you know, things like that, where we're bringing people together and learning and getting to know one another and having something useful in that way. So that remains to be seen, but that's a little sneak peek potentially for a change to this program. Everything else would be the same. It's just that it would make those projects potentially eligible for funding. And this year we have $30,000 to spend towards neighborhood improvement grants. The timeline that's coming up. So at the end of this month, there will be two meetings. That is a required meeting. So any neighborhood group that is interested in potentially applying for a grant should attend one or the other of those meetings. They will be an identical meeting. It's just repeated twice for people to have options to attend. So that's January 24th and 30th. And then a letter of intent is due on the 6th of February. So that's just about a week later after the second meeting. And then you have a long time before the application is due. There's a lot of stuff that will go into that. It is a bit of, it is work. And neighborhood improvement grant is not a small project. So there is some work involved. And the deadline for applications is March 20th. And then as part of the application process, every applicant neighborhood will present, do an oral presentation to the neighborhood grant council. So the decisions about funding are made by a 5-member council. It is made up of 2 city employees who are not HAND employees. I am not one of them. Also a member of the redevelopment commission, and then 2 neighbors, like at large people. And those will be chosen from neighborhoods that do not have an active application in this cycle. Okay. The neighborhood cleanup grant. This is one of my favorites. You can ask Liz. We did one this past year in McDowell Gardens, and that was really great. So this is a picture of McDowell Gardens cleanup. We award 2 of them each year. We provide all the logistics. So we will collect trash, hazardous materials, tires, scrap metal. We'll have either a wood chipper or someone collecting all of the brush and limbs for that sort of thing. So that's the part that HAND does. And then the neighborhood coordinates their people. So you get people, make sure there's good communication, find out who's wanting to participate, and then volunteers. So that's the big thing, is to mobilize your neighbors. I'll say this, that a application that is successful will be one that is very, very clearly showing that commitment of volunteers and participants in the application, not like, oh yeah, we plan to do this and, you know, we'll get these people. No, we want to see up front that you've got that already on the books. That's what's going to be, is going to make it a strong application. So it's good to get started early to get the word out and get people interested and get those commitments from people. So the application deadline for that one is March 6th. And the way that we work this, we have 6 potential dates that are set ahead of time. So this takes into account Mother's Day, Father's Day, Little 5, graduation, you know, all the things in Bloomington that can interfere with the weekend. And so those are avoided. Those are the potential 6 dates. And what you would do on your application is give us your top 2 choices. And most of the time we can accommodate those 2, the 2, because we just do 2 things. So we'll only have 2 cleanups. So only 2 of those 6 dates will actually be used. So that's how that process works. Okay, then the other grant program that I have is the Small and Simple Grant. And this one has a maximum of $500 per neighborhood per year. So you could potentially have 2 smaller needs at different times during the year. So once you hit $500, you're maxed out, but I would certainly be happy to take applications from people if they haven't used their whole $500 and something else comes up, you know, apply again. There's a rolling deadline for this. So I will accept applications anytime from now through September 1st, and unless money runs out. And I believe this year we have the same $4,500 or ish. So if what happened this past year, the neighborhood improvement grants, we funded 3 projects and we did not use the full $30,000. So we had additional money left over that we could roll into the Small and Simple grant. So there could potentially be more than that. We won't know that until May, probably. There are 2 separate kinds of Small and Simple grants. One is the general one, which is pretty much for most things except for food, like I said. So if you have a small physical improvement, you know, an event that you want to plan, a workshop or, you know, something like that, or a newsletter that you send out once a year or something like that. That's what those are good for. And then there's the second one is the grant to control invasive plant species. This one can be, you can use the money for supplies or tools, for rental of equipment if you need to, for removing invasive plants. I have had 2 neighborhoods who have chosen to use all of the money for purchasing native plants, which then can be distributed amongst the neighbors. This is the one and only grant that we have where we will allow money to be used on private property so that you can plant them in your yard. Those are your plants to have. But the idea is that it works as an incentive to get people to then remove invasives. So those go hand in hand. It's not just like you can take the money and, you know, buy a bunch of plants and don't do anything else. The point is remove the stuff that's not supposed to be there and replace it with something good. So what we've done in the past 2 years is coordinated that with the MC Iris native plant sale in September. And so folks are able to go in and buy a whole bunch of plants with their money. And MC Iris has been extremely generous this past year. They gave the neighborhood a bunch of vouchers. So each individual had a voucher for a certain amount of money, and they actually added on top of it an additional, I think, $70 on top of our $500. So it was evenly split among the neighbors who were participating. So that was really great. So that's an option as well. And will be the third year now for this grant. I've lowered the threshold for minimum participation among the neighborhood from 15% of households to 10, because I know in some of the larger neighborhoods that was kind of challenging to do. So we'll see how it works with a lower percentage. And that is all I have. The little picture that's on here is a bunch of signs that Park Ridge just acquired with a small and simple grant. So that's another idea for things to do. As you can see, they're versatile. They've got all kinds of different things that they ordered, so they can pretty much advertise any event that they have in the neighborhood. And I'm happy to take questions.
Hey, I just wanted to say, Angela, that it sounds like your favorite is my favorite, the neighborhood cleanup. I live in Arden Place, and we've been doing it ever since I moved here in 1998. And it is just an awesome, I mean, it gets a lot of things done, but also it's a wonderful time to get out and holler at your neighbors, get to know them, and things like that.
Did you have?
Hey, you all have been doing them on your own, right? You rent a dumpster and do a cleanup on your own, because you guys haven't been getting the grants from us to do that, right?
I think we did get some grants on that back a number of years ago, and that's how we got it started.
Mm.
But we have supported that with our neighborhood association dues. You know, each year. Yeah. But yeah, Ann does reach out and find the chipper guy. As you illustrated, it is exactly how we do it. Okay. So thank you.
Thanks. Great. Great.
Thanks, Steve. Did you have a question for Angela? Steve?
Me? No. Yeah. No question. Okay. Just
all right. Liz, do you have a question?
Not a question, but a compliment to Angela and her staff and previous staffs with HAND. HAND has been so wonderful with doing these neighborhood improvement grants, with the cleanup grants, with the small and simple grants. McDowell Gardens has been involved with all of these in over 22 years. And we've done 6 cleanup grants. We've done... The most recent we did not only was the cleanup grant that we did, but we had an idiot who hit one of our previous grant things, which was a monument, and HAND came up with money to help us reset that monument. And this was just, HAND has been so wonderful to work with all of these things. And I just want to compliment anyone who's involved with doing any of these grants. Angela and their staff, they will help you do it. And I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Liz. Ellen, looks like lots of people have their hands up. Ellen?
I have a request rather than a question, and that is on Kona's website. There is a link that says grants. And it's broken, doesn't go anywhere. It would be really nice if that up to the current page.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Eric, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you. Angela, I was wondering if, and this is a topic of discussion that came up during our recent Elm Heights Neighborhood Association board meeting. We are looking for opportunities to work with the residents in the neighborhood and you know, students, owners, et cetera. And one of the things that came up was when in May, which is not that too far in the future, when students move out, there's an opportunity to perhaps collect food or even, you know, various pieces of furniture or other things that would otherwise just be set out on the curb to be collected or thrown away and to put them to good use. So I'm wondering if the B-Town Neighboring Project could work with at least us in Elm Heights and perhaps through Kona, you know, other neighborhood associations to realize something like, you know, moving those resources to a better use.
I love that idea. Let's talk more about that.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay. So you two know each other. So you know how to get in touch with.
Oh, yes, we do.
Well, I'm thinking, I mentioned that at during our Kona meeting, because that might be something that Kona could help facilitate too with other neighborhood associations in the spring.
Great idea. Thank you, Eric. Tom?
Hi, Angela. Good to put a name with the face.
Yes, likewise.
Yeah, I know that the neighborhood cleanup grants are like the most popular thing in our neighborhood that's ever happened around here. And my question is, I know you're looking at allocating more bucks to certain programs that you all are doing. Is it possible to raise the number of neighborhoods instead that get cleanup grants? I don't know how many of them put applications in each year, but we'd love to have another one. And I know it's only been 3 years or 4 years or something since we did one, so that might rule us out, but we're definitely going to try again, and we'd really like to take another shot at it. I just don't know if there's any opportunity to have more than two, if we could get it funded and make it happen.
Yeah. So first of all, the eligibility is you can't have had one for 2 years. So there's been more than that. You guys are, you're, that doesn't account, doesn't apply to you guys. And actually there has been, we have thrown around the idea of having possibly three, but here's the thing. It's a lot of work for the staff. It is a huge undertaking, and it's a whole day. And honestly, to be brutally honest, the hand staff is not getting any younger. And so it gets to be pretty physically difficult to do than two, particularly if in the spring, because then, you know, you have, they're clustered at one time. If we were ever to maybe do it at another time of year, we did do one in the fall in 2020. We had only one because of COVID and all the craziness. We didn't do it. Everything was canceled in the spring. By the time we got to the fall, I thought, you know, can we try this? Maybe we could pull this off. So we went ahead and did it. We just did one. And it was great. So if we could maybe do something like that, where it's a different time of year, potentially. But yeah, at this point, two is, I think, about all we can handle, because it's a lot of extra stuff, a lot of logistics.
Absolutely fair. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I have a question. Is it true that a neighborhood can only get one grant per year?
You could apply for different grant programs.
That was my question.
Yeah, it is not the case. One grant per program, yes.
Okay.
Up to $500 for Small and Simple. So that one, it could potentially be more than one if it doesn't hit that threshold. But you could also apply for a cleanup grant and a neighborhood improvement grant if you're super ambitious and you want to do all those things. More power to you.
Yeah. Well, because as you were going over the possibilities, I was thinking, wow, we could use several of those. You know,
I have moved into
the co-house. Yes.
Okay. So actually, Adrian contacted me. And she said that you guys do have an idea. So I have to get back to her about some details about that. So
yeah, we do. We're having a meeting tomorrow. So I'll be talking with her too. So yeah. Yeah. Great. Well, that's wonderful. Are there any other questions from the group? Well, if not, then I value everyone's time. And so I thank everyone for being here, especially thanking our two speakers, Susan and Angela, for the valuable information and for letting us know all these wonderful things that are going on in town. please, anyone who has an idea or for Kona, Kathy's put it in the chat. You can email us at konabloomington@gmail.com. And with ideas, if you want to help serve on a subcommittee, we'd love to have your help and we'd love to have your engagement. So talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, and talk to us. So
thank you very much. Have a good evening.
You're welcome. Thank you all. And with that, we're going to stop the recording and go to the business meeting portion of the meeting. So anyone who wants to stay can stay, or you can go ahead and get on with your, you know, with what you have to do. All right.
So I'd like to make a motion that we continue. We can edit the recording to end, you know, the published version if you want, but I would, if possible, let's go ahead and record the business meeting if that's okay. Just for a record.
Okay. Kathy, did we talk about this before? I think there was some reason why we stopped early. I don't know what it was, but
no, I think it was because Cynthia didn't know how to edit it.
Oh, so okay.
If Eric's willing to edit out the business part, then it would be good to have it for minutes or to check on what we decided.
Okay, very good. Very good. So, okay, so there you have it, Eric. Thank you. And it's great to have you with all of your skills joining us. And we have not posted the minutes and the treasurer's report in the chat, and they weren't attached to the email. So I think we should wait until the next meeting to approve those. Does anyone have a different idea? Okay. Then the only other item I have is that we will be having our board meeting next Monday, and it's going to be hybrid. So Eric and Cynthia are both going to be attending on Zoom. That's my understanding. Is anyone else going to be attending on Zoom? So I'm going to have it here at my house, which is right across from the Common House. It's bright green, and we'll see how that works. There's no Wi-Fi at the Common House. So I'll see you guys at on next Monday. That is Martin Luther King Day, but we're meeting at, yes, Liz.
Yes. Is this going to be at 7 o'clock?
At 7 o'clock, yes.
Okay. And then the next thing I would like to bring up is the way the bank gives the statements. It's around the 10th or the 11th. And the treasurer's report that I gave before was of November.
Okay.
So I'm hoping within the next day or two to actually physically get the December statement. So I will send that out to everyone. And then when we meet next Monday at your house, I will have the lockbox key to hand over to Steve. And when I get the thing from the IRS to send for the statement, then Steve and I can arrange when we can meet and we can do the statement. And I will turn things over to Steve so he will handle the treasures from that point on. That's it.
Hey, Liz, do you want to get together between now and then and kind of discuss what we're going to do?
Yes or no, does it matter? I was going to wait till I got the statement until we had our meeting, and then we could discuss it, because okay. I won't get the statement. I don't have a statement now. I checked it
okay.
today.
Maybe I was thinking maybe Friday, maybe we could meet at Blooming Foods or something.
We can discuss that. Yeah. What okay. time Friday?
Well, it's hard for me to tell, but I will work on that and I'll get in touch with you. Okay.
Okay. We're going to be meeting more. Whoops. We're going to be meeting more than just one time, Steve.
Oh, I know.
Because I know you're going to have to be coached in on this. how this goes, because I want to make sure you're fully trained by the time I officially step down from this position. So I'm not leaving you in the lurch.
Right. I appreciate that. And I will definitely take advantage of your knowledge.
Okay.
Okay. So does anybody have anything else? All right. Then we will adjourn. And I will see you on Monday. Hopefully Cynthia will be able to join us, but we'll see. Thank you, everybody. I think the team did a great job on making the meeting work.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Program today. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks.